Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, how many of you have seen The Lion King? Everyone? Just about? So I think it's perhaps my favorite animated film, and I think there's beautiful lessons within it. But you might remember this scene. It's when, after Simba had just gotten into trouble and he's fearing all things, when will I be king? And as one little one does. And so he's overwhelmed by fear and uncertainty about his future. His father, Mufasa, takes him outside and points to the vast night sky, telling him to look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from these stars. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. Just beautiful. And there's dramatic music in the background, and it's just this father-son moment. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful scene about drawing courage from those who came before us. And what strikes me, and made me remind myself of The Lion King, is that from our reading from Genesis this morning, God is doing something even more profound with Abraham, then known still Abram. God isn't just saying, look at the stars and look to the past for comfort. God is saying, look up to the stars and see what will be. Draw hope for the future. My siblings, this morning we find Abraham in a moment that feels achingly familiar to so many of us. God has made promises, huge, beautiful, big, life-changing promises. But time has passed, and circumstances haven't changed. And Abraham, in his very human way, begins to wonder, where are you, God? What are you doing? What are you up to? When is this going to happen? Remember that promise that you made me? When is it going to come true? What is taking so long? That is actually the first time in Scripture that Abraham talks back to God. Up until this point, Abraham has been a model of silent obedience. He has gone where he has been told to go, and he has done what he has been told to do. But here, finally, we see his human dimension coming through. For he says, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You can hear the yearning and almost desperateness in his speaking. I continue childless. And my siblings, I don't believe that this is an unreasonable question. For God made promises about descendants a long time ago. By this point, it's already been like four chapters since that initial promise to Abraham. Imagine the time that has passed on, and it still hasn't happened yet. And as the saying goes, Abraham and Sarah are not getting any younger, and they are waiting, and they are waiting, and they are waiting, and still nothing. Haven't we all been there in one way or another? Haven't we all had those moments when we look up and say, God, do you even remember me? Do you remember that thing you promised me? Remember the prayer I've been praying? Remember that person I've been praying for? Do you remember that dream that you planted in my heart and in my soul? Where is it? Where is it? When will it be my turn? Maybe you've been waiting for healing that seems to take forever for yourself or for a loved one. Maybe you're hoping for a relationship to be restored. Maybe you're praying for justice that feels like it will never come. Maybe you're longing for a sense of purpose or direction that remains elusive. Maybe you're wondering when the financial struggles will finally ease. When will the loneliness lift? When will the answers finally come? Abraham's complaint resonates across centuries because it's so deeply human. It's so deeply us. We want to see God's promises fulfilled in our timing, according to our understanding, and in the ways that make sense to us. And that usually happens in our own way of thinking. But here's what I love about the story. Abraham doesn't scold Abraham for his honesty and questioning. God doesn't tell him to have more faith and to just stop questioning. As sometimes even we in good intentions find ourselves telling loved ones, just have more faith and stop questioning God and it'll come. God doesn't do any of that. Instead, God meets Abraham exactly where he is and gives him something tangible to hold on to, as God always does. For God says, come outside. Come outside. Look towards heaven and count the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your descendants be. God takes Abraham's very reasonable doubt and transforms it, as God is so good at, into an invitation to see beyond his present circumstances. The stars become a tangible reminder of God's promise, countless, brilliant, enduring, spread across the vast expanse of possibility. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. My siblings, we are those stars. We are those stars. You and I sitting here this morning are Abraham's wildest dreams come true. And as corny as that may sound, it's true. We are the fulfillment of that promise spoken under that night sky thousands of years ago. We are the descendants Abraham could have never imagined when he was counting sheep instead of children. But it's not just us individually, but as Trinity Episcopal Church here in Midtown, we are the wildest dreams of those who founded this congregation in 1893. Hey, I got it. We are their wildest imagination. Through our evening prayer gatherings and through our sandwich bag ministries, through our commitment to the arts and spirituality, through our courage to stand together against gun violence and for LGBTQ+A rights, through our partnerships with local organizations like the Emergency Aid Coalition and Cristo Sal and so many others, I dare say we are their answered prayers. When our founders dreamed of what this church could become, I'm sure they have so many dreams. Did they imagine that we would still be here? We're still here, decades later, still showing up. In choir and in Lemming and in the congregation and in the faithful ministry that you all bring Sunday after Sunday through yoga and women's circle, through all the things that we do, we're still showing up. We're still showing up for our own house neighbors with actions and words and money and prayer. Did they envision us standing boldly for immigrants? Did they picture this community becoming a beacon of hope in Midtown? My siblings, we are their wildest dreams walking around in flesh and blood. And so let me tell you about another couple whose wildest dreams we represent. Years ago, a Latino husband and wife embarked on a journey unlike anything they had ever done before, or anything that their families had ever done before. The small yet beautiful life that they had built in their home country was everything they had imagined. She worked as a counselor at a university, and he was a professor at the same institution. They were surrounded by loved ones, parents, siblings, and friends. They had three beautiful growing children. By all means, they were happy. Yet something stirred in their hearts. They wanted to offer the world and its endless possibilities to their children, but they knew in their familiar and known and safe world, that was no longer enough for the dreams that they had for their families. And so as one does, they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed some more. And they felt that God was calling them to something different and something new and something challenging but life-changing. God was calling them to leave everything and everyone they knew and travel to the unknown world of the United States. And so they went. And the first years weren't easy, they were tough. New language, new culture, new experiences of racism and xenophobia, new everything. He took on jobs selling cheese on sidewalks, working as a security officer, driving a cab through the night. She worked during the days and would eventually become a stay-at-home mom to provide their children with a safe and nurturing home where their Latino heritage could be preserved and respected. He would be robbed and beaten at gunpoint. She would be shamed and humiliated for speaking English or speaking Spanish. But they didn't give up on that promise that they felt that God has spoken over their family. Through sweat and tears and sacrifice, he would eventually become a highly recognized and respected priest in the Episcopal Church. She would become known for her workshops and leadership in women's empowerment. Their children would grow up to be kind to strangers, curious and loyal in their faith, daring in all the challenges of life, strong, independent, and fearless. My siblings, that husband and wife, are my parents. And because of them looking up at the stars and looking at the possibility and saying yes to a promise that seemed incomprehensible, impossible, and scary, I am here with you all today. And this is the pattern that we see throughout Scripture again and again and again. God makes these beautiful, big, impressive promises that seem too big, too impossible, too good to be true. And time passes. Circumstances don't change quickly enough. We begin to doubt. But God's promises are not bound by our timelines and our limited imagination. When Abraham looked up at those stars, he couldn't have envisioned the great nation that would come from his lineage. Just think about it. He couldn't have imagined Moses leading the people out of slavery or David dancing. He couldn't have imagined prophets speaking truth to power or Jesus walking the roads of Palestine or the early church spreading across the Roman empires or the civil rights movements or this very congregation gathered this morning. He couldn't have imagined all of that when he saw those stars. But here we are, part of that promise spoken under the stars. We are the great nation God promised Abraham. We are the blessing to all the families of the earth. In our epistle reading this morning from Hebrews, Hebrews put it perfectly. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going, for he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward to something he couldn't fully see or even understand. But we get to live in the reality of promises fulfilled. We get to be the answer to prayers prayed by people who died way before we were even thought or born. And here's the beautiful paradox, because that's the beauty of Scripture. While we are the fulfillment of ancient promises, we are also still waiting for promises yet to be fulfilled. My siblings, we are both the answer and the question, both the dream realized and the dreamers still hoping. And so when you feel like Abraham, which we will have days where we will, and that is okay. When we feel and we find ourselves wondering, where is God? When is our breakthrough? When is it finally going to come? When are our prayers going to be heard? Remember that God's timing is not our timing, unfortunately. But God's faithfulness is sure. Look up at the stars, literally and figuratively. Remember that you are part of a story much bigger than your current circumstances. My siblings, you are someone's wildest dream come true. You are someone's wildest dream come true. And at 8 a.m., it was a small crowd, so I could say everybody's name. This is a bigger crowd. So when I count to three, I just want you to say your name. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yes. Your name. Good job. You are your wildest. You're someone's wildest dreams come true. You're the fulfillment of prayers spoken by grandparents and great-grandparents and strangers who hoped for a better world. You are the answer for someone's plea of justice, for love, for hope. I think in the craziness of day to day, we forget that there was once a person that said, Lord, we need someone in our lives that would bring X, Y, and Z. And guess what? You bring that X, Y, and Z. You are an answered prayer. Someone's wildest imagination come true, a prayer that they have no imagination that has been fulfilled. And the promises God is speaking over your life right now, the ones that seem impossible, the ones that you've been waiting for, the ones that make you want to talk back to God in frustration, those promises are already being fulfilled in ways that you cannot see or understand or even comprehend. Somewhere, God is weaving together circumstances that will astound you with their beauty. The stars Abraham counted that night are still shining. Now, you may not see them because of the skyscrapers, but they are still shining. The promise God spoke is still unfolding. And you, beloved, are both the fruit of ancient hopes and the seed of future miracles. So when you look up the night sky, I invite you to do that today if you're able to. Remember, you are descended from dreamers. From dreamers who dared to believe God's impossible promises. You are also an ancestor to dreamers yet to come. And that might be your children or your great-grandchildren or random people that have no idea who you are. And yet, you are an ancestor to dreamers yet to come who will look back on your faithfulness and call you blessed. The God who brought Abraham outside to count the stars is the same God who is working in your life right now, fulfilling promises in ways you cannot yet imagine. So my siblings, trust the process, as frustrating as it is to hear that. Trust the promise. Trust the God who speaks hope into being and calls forth descendants as numerous as the stars above. Amen.